Now ask for your attention as our brother gives us those very necessary words of exhortation.
Thank you, Reverend Paul. As Michael said, we pray that our loving Heavenly Father will be with John and he will be feeling much better soon. Well, a very good morning to all my beloved brothers and sisters. As once more, in God's mercy, we've been able to meet to remember all that has been done for us. But what does God require of us? Well, if you come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these words. Deuteronomy chapter 6, commencing at verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Well, we know these words, as we read through them, were addressed to the children of Israel, to help them stay focused. But they expressed what God requires of all his servants, his children, in all ages, under all circumstances. They are the conditions, if kept, would enable those to whom they're addressed to inherit the promised land. To inherit it, not in a partial and incomplete sense, which Israel did, but as an immortal family reigning forever. We see in our reading for today in Numbers chapter 26. And just reading verse 65. You know the rest of the chapter goes through the number of Israel, the sum of Israel. Verse 65. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So out of all that number out of so many, two out of that generation, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, entered the promised land. And why? Because they believed in God's promises and obeyed his commandments. So God requires of us obedience to his commandments, It requires us to walk in his ways, to love him and to serve him with all our heart and all our soul and mind. To Israel, he commanded that they should bind his words upon their hand, that they might be as frontlets between their eyes, to teach them to their children, speaking of them when they sat in their houses, when they walked in the way, when they lay down, and when they rose up. They were to write them upon the doorposts of their houses and upon their gates. And they did them to the very letter, not missing one jot or tittle. And in doing so, utterly failed to put the spirit of them into practice. Come over to First Book of Samuel, chapter 15. Another background to the chapter. Oh, that Saul was supposed to have slain everyone to follow God's commandment, and yet we know that that didn't happen. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king." And it's a recurring theme throughout the scriptures, isn't it, brethren and sisters? People learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You see, the main point of these commandments is that the law of God should be the guiding principle in our lives, the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, as we hear often. It should be the centre of our minds, and we should never forget it from the moment we open our eyes in the morning till we fall asleep at night. But that's easier said than done, as I'm sure we're all aware of. Israel observed the letter. They wrote out the Ten Commandments on their phylacteries and burned them upon their wrists and their foreheads. They wrote them upon the doorposts of their houses and made a great show of their meticulous observance of the law. And in doing so, they made the law of God a burden grievous to be borne, utterly failing to exhibit its true spirit and its true message. Now, we are not here to point the finger at Israel. If we do, as we've been told many times before, there are always fingers pointing back at ourselves. Our purpose is to examine ourselves in all that God has done for us, and how we react to these mercies. Like Israel, we are expecting very soon to enter the promised land. We've been delivered from the Egyptian bondage and have seen God's mighty hand guiding and directing our path through our wilderness journey. Our clothes and our shoes do not wear out. We buy new ones long before they do. We have enough food to sustain us, sometimes too much, on our journey. Brethren and sisters, the realization of our hope depends on how faithful we are to those words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we quoted from. So what does the law require of us? That is the question we constantly need to keep asking ourselves. It is a question we ask ourselves before we submit to the waters of baptism. It is a question we should ask ourselves every morning and evening, every time before we pray. And it's certainly a question we should ask ourselves every time we meet in this way to break bread and drink wine in remembrance of the one who did just that. And what did his father say of him? Thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. What encouragement those words were for Jesus. Words he never forgot. Even when the going got tough, he never wavered. And neither should we. If we want to please our Heavenly Father, just like his son, like this feast before us, it is only by constantly reminding ourselves of what's been done for us can we see what God does require of us, that we can expect to continue to walk acceptably before him. What is more, the very frame of mind reflected in that question is conductive to actions which are pleasing to the Almighty. To obey is better than sacrifice. Come over to Hebrews chapter 10. The writer writes these words, commencing at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we are commanded to meet, to remember our Lord. We are commanded to love one another as well as many others, holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, considering one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's what is required of us, brethren and sisters. And surely, it is so much easier doing this journey together than alone, where we can be swallowed up quickly by the dangers which are all around us. Could you turn to Galatians chapter 6, please? Galatians chapter 6, commencing at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering myself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Yes, we try, I try, and get these things right, but fail. I fail so miserably. These commandments, God's commandments, are not, as John says in his first epistle, chapter 5, First Epistle, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. They are not a burden which has been placed on our shoulders. No. If rightly appreciated and understood, they show us of God's love for our good. They are designed for our present and future well-being. They are designed to eradicate from our characters those faults and weaknesses which are not only displeasing to our Heavenly Father, but which are also, in reality, the root cause of much present unhappiness. And that is why it is so important to meet for fellowship one with another, as much as possible, and especially at this feast, week by week, to call to mind the things which our Lord went through for you and for me. It's important we see Jesus, his death, and his glorious resurrection in the bread and the wine, so it doesn't become an irksome duty like Israel with God's commandments. So before partaking of the emblems, come with me to our reading for today in Philippians. For these wonderful words of exhortation. And we see all these things put into practice, shown to perfection by the one we shall shortly remember in the way commanded. Philippians chapter 2, commencing at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure, to do all things without murmurings and disputings, not like Israel in the wilderness, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. That's the exhortation in itself, brothers and sisters. So, now as we come to these emblems, let us try and follow our Lord more closely in the days that remain, so that when he does come, he may welcome us all into that glorious kingdom, and we pray for that day to come soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says this: "The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Would you please join me as I give thanks for the bread? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and thy most glorious name. We thank you for allowing us to have this time where we're able to remember the sacrifice of your Son, and as we now see the bread which is broken as a symbol of his body, which is broken for us, may we think upon his sacrifice and remember that he gave his life for us, even though he did not deserve to die that cruel death. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.